The ice cream caper of the century, Crazy Gina Raypack, excuse me, and Paul Walker. It is episode 9, season 4 of this podcast and of Psych, and it starts right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood see-through backcracker, Dr. Joe, riding shotgun in the Blue Bear with me. As always, is my partner in crime, Luthez Press.
Oh, I like that one.
Lou, how's it going?
Good old-fashioned Stone Cold move right there. It was a little rough on the open. I messed up Crime of the Century, Crazy Gina Raypack. I stuck Paul Walker, but, you know, slow start, but we're going to get off to a hot, we're gonna finish strong.
Finish strong and finish quick, Billy. That's our motto.
Well, there we go.
So welcome back, everyone. We are discussing this week, Psych Season 4, Episode 9, Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark. And before we dive into it, Billy, tell the people of our process, my friend.
Starts with a holla, ends with a creamsicle, and if there's time in between, a little Thundercats.
Ho! So this is an episode that I definitely have watched more than Let's Get Harry. And watching it a couple of times, getting ready for this week, you know, I think what I realized is it's a very good episode. Mm-hmm. I don't put it in that upper tier of Psych episodes, but what I love about it is the way they told the story in this episode.
Yeah, it's a great, you know, and this is the thing we talk about all the time, and I don't think it gets enough credit. It is a well-written show through and through. There's very few times I have any nits to pick. There's a couple of logistical things here where I'm like, small nits. But on the whole, it's a well-done, high-drama, you know, it's definitely the most serious scenario we've dealt with in the entire show. Sean literally gets shot.
Yeah, there was real stakes in this episode. And I love what they did because it was a bit of a departure from the typical procedural format that they do. And what I also loved about this, too, is that it got to highlight some of the other players, right? And so it took Sean out of the equation for most of the episode. Like, we still get a lot of Sean, but he's not Sean. And it put a focus, you know, we had some good team ups here with Gus and Jules and Henry and Lassie, and put the focus on them, you know, even though the focus was on Sean, right? If that makes sense. But I loved the flashbacks, the way this story was told, where you had Gus doing narration of some flashback scenes, and then it would kind of go back and forth to present time. And there was a nice little way to mix up, you know, the episodes and tell us a story in a different way than what we've been accustomed to so far.
Yeah, the oddly paired buddy cops, right?
Yeah.
It's a classic trope of really not even sitcoms, of like every show. You love it when you get it in like Stranger Things, when all of a sudden the little kid with the weird teeth goes off with Steve. Dustin and Steve, that's like a good team up there. So it happens in all, you know, TV shows. So it's a good way to kick this off. Like you said, you get the different, you know, groupings in. Henry and Lassie is fantastic. It's great to watch. And even Jules and Gus is a nice tag team, but Henry is just in rare form in this one.
Yeah, a little peek behind the curtain. We might have a it might be coming in hot with a new favorite character for this episode. But yeah, you know, this episode was definitely high on the drama, it was high on the suspense, and it wasn't lacking comedy. The comedy, when it was there, you know, was good. It was very good, but it just wasn't the mile a minute quippy, you know, Psych type episode. And that's because the main protagonist, Sean, you know, he's being captive for most of this episode, if not for all of it. And so you get very little of that. And it was a bit of fresh air. Not that I think that we ever get too much of it, but when you get an episode like this and let the other characters sort of shine a little bit, it delivers the comedy in different ways. But again, it was really good storytelling, you know, shifting focus between, you know, the different pairings and everything. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's a nice break in the formula of the repetition of Psyche, even though they switch it up anyways. Yep. Usually with the way they get into a crime, the kind of crime, the way they tackle it, if they're on their side, if they're working together, if there's a side story. But in this one, like you said, the actual timeline starts with Sean already being captured.
Yeah. And I thought
it ends pretty much with him being saved. And there's, you know, weaved in and out of it flashbacks to, you know, his childhood a couple times in the middle and to parts of the story that happened in the middle too. So it's a really unique way of doing a Psych episode. And again, you know, the comedy wasn't there full fledged, but it couldn't be with the kind of story they were telling.
Right. And that's another thing I love too, is that we got, usually we just get little Sean, little Gus in the cold open. Most of the times it's silly. There's a small little lesson or a small little theme that, you know, bears fruit throughout the episode. But this was the best use of that, because again, they would have these sort of time jumps, you know, and where it would, you know, where you would have Gus sort of narrating what Sean was working on before he got captured. And then you'd have flashbacks even further to Henry teaching Sean these lessons. And a lot of time when Henry teaches Sean these lessons, you just kind of roll your eyes. Well, it's just Henry being Henry. But these were very practical lessons that actually saved his life a couple of times throughout the set. So I loved that callback within the episode with those flashbacks. And so before we really, really dive into the episode itself, Billy, who's the standout guest star?
I just closed the friggin' page here. Hang on.
Let me pull it up. All right. It's Michael Rooker.
I got it. Michael Rooker, Garth Longmore. I should have thought of a better name than Donut Holstein.
Right.
The Walking Dead. What the hell is this?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I've never seen it abbreviated like that. And that's probably my favorite movie too from the MCU. Jesus Christ, Billy. Well, he's great in that, obviously. Tremendous. And then National Treasure and any movie or show you need a villain to die in. Yeah, he is pretty much the guy that's set up to take the fall. This one, he plays a more sweet character, almost like his Guardian of the Galaxy character in like the end of the end of movie one and into movie two. Like, he does pull at the heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah, he's kind of like Lenny from Of Mice and Men. He's a little sweet. He's a little slow, but
good old Yondu.
He's just he's mixed up with the wrong crowd here. But I thought he did a great job. He wasn't the best guest star they've ever had. Certainly not the worst. Mm-hmm. Lindsay Lohan.
He was solid.
Yeah, he did a good job, especially at the end there. And so, synopsis: while investigating a crime involving an ice cream truck. Sean stumbles upon a different crime in progress and is taken hostage by the criminals. So again, this was another really cool like premise of sort of getting us into the case without it being, you know, a murder or you know the typical stuff. It was, you know, them sort of and I loved how they set this up, where the beginning of the episode, outside of the cold open, which we'll touch upon in a second, you just see, you know, Lassie's being called to a crime scene in his cherry new car.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ice cream truck tipped over, and, you know, Buzz is like, yeah, it's just an accident. And Lassie's like, call me when someone's been shot or there's a dead body.
Accident. What am I doing here?
Yeah. And then he sees Sean and Gus there. Like, what are you two guys doing here?
We heard ice cream truck on the scanner, and, you know, it's Gus's snack time.
So I thought that was a great way to sort of like, just, it was a nice silly way, you know, a brief moment of levity in this episode. And then how we get to the actual crime in the case and what happens with Sean and with those flashbacks and the narration, I thought was some of the best stuff that they've done on the show.
Oh no. Yeah. I mean, it's a great way of storytelling. They're Tarantino-ing it a little bit, momentum-ing it a little bit, you know, kind of telling the story at different points, but it all made sense. It all worked together really well. I liked the, you know, the needling in the comedy where you could like, I might remind me to call Hefty with with an idea. So it's a well done, constructed, serious episode of Psych. And yeah, I mean, from like, what have we even dove in past the cold open here?
No, we're about to dive in now. But, you know, this is outside of the Yang episodes. There's only been maybe one or two other real serious you know, tone.
Oh, yeah, you know episodes. What? The Yang episode is way more serious than this one because Sean's mother is got a bomb strapped to her, essentially. This is the first time we've seen one of our main characters shot. So that's something, though.
Yeah, so some real stakes. So the cold open here, I thought it was great. So we get, you know, Henry's teaching Sean a very valuable lesson where he tells him to get into the trunk. It's teaching him how to escape if kidnapped and thrown in the back of a car. And, you know, he's got him in there and, you know, he's telling him, he's like, okay, look around. You see that panel? That's where the brake light is. And what he's trying to say is, see that what you would do is you'd kick it out. And Sean in classic.
I said what you would do.
Sean, you just see this thing get kicked right out, which is actually pretty cool and a really ingenious idea. And I love that the fucking nosy ass neighbor is like staring at him. And he's just like, mind your fucking business. It's my kid, you know.
And a great neighbor name, Mrs. Nessbaum.
Yeah, Nessbaum, that's right.
Which I think they use in a later episode when they go for the massages in the Nip and Suck It episode. I think when they go for the massages, they're Mr. and Mrs. Nessbaum.
Oh, I'm gonna have to pay attention to that because
I can guarantee it. Actually,
yes, awesome recall, Billy. Awesome recall. So yeah, Henry was great in this episode, and we get it right from the rip. And what's great is that this cold, like when you first watch this episode, you just think it's a standard cold open, but we get a couple more of these flashes throughout this, which I don't think we get again. Right?
No, we get the lie detector flashback once.
Oh, right.
In the
middle of
the Darth Vader episode.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, good call, Billy.
I think it happens a couple other times too, maybe. Yeah, those are the ones that come stick to mind, but it is a rare treat when they do throw it in there.
Yeah, so this was great because, you know, I love the use of it. Plus, this is going to come back and play an integral part of the episode, you know, later on. And then, of course, we get the hats thing again.
The only thing that I hate about the hats thing, and I fucking hate it, because I always thought it was stupid. I thought it was dumb. And this is why I resist sometimes suggesting this show to people, because it's in the first episode, and it's like the main fucking plot point.
Billy hates fun.
I do, but it's not fun. It's so stupid. And it, like, I was waiting for it to be like a thing in the last episode somehow where, like, you know, they're looking around and all of a sudden, like, oh, there's 12 hats. Well, there were 13 or something. And it fucking never comes back around. And they work it in a few more times, I think. It's just like, out of all the things in Psych, if I were to hate one thing, it would be this or fucking Lindsay Lycan, one of the two. But she's at least easy on the eyes.
Yeah, she's got a nice tuchus. But yeah, since when did bandanas count as hats? I thought that was
That was like, at least he's at least poking fun at it.
Right. So the overall story. So, I mean, we've talked about this, you know, a bit already, but the tone is set right from the get-go. Again, Psych. One of the things I love about Psych is always the score, the music that they choose. It's always very fitting. And the score throughout this episode, especially when there's moments of suspense or when things, you know, get tense or ominous, the score is always perfect. And I love how it sort of starts off. You see Gus, you see an adult man in fucking train pajamas. Fire engine pajamas. We should get Mac a pair of those. Mm. He'd look adorable.
We're going to get Raffy a pair then, too.
Oh, hell yeah, right?
I mean, more appropriate.
Well. And then, you know, Lassie and Jules show up, and they're like, what the hell are we doing here? And, like, Gus is actually very perplexed. He got this very cryptic text from Sean, and what you get the sense that something bad happened, right?
Yeah, when they show up.
Yeah. You get that sense that something bad happened, and they're trying to figure out what Gus is trying to read. This is one of my nitpicks is when they get to the texting, but he gets sort of this cryptic text and he's trying to, you know, figure it out. Bin shit. And then bin shot. And then Lassie's on the ground. He looks, does a thing where he puts his finger. This is blood. And then it hits Gus, bin shot, and boom, we're off to the races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it levels up immediately, and you're like, oh, shit. And obviously, you probably can assume that Sean's not going to die, but they do really do some they do really a good job of making you feel that he's in some serious danger, and there's a couple of twists at the end there. You're like, oh, shit, somebody's dead.
Yeah.
And somebody is dead. It's just not him.
It's just not him. And so this was another great little scene too, where, like, again, the acting ability of these guys, because now they, okay, now it's all hands on deck. Hmm. Sean's been shot. Sean is missing. You know, the cops are all there, and Gus calls Henry, and Lassie's fucking pissed. You know, yeah, the last thing family's he wants, involved. Yeah, because he's like, you know, and that's the trope that's always played. You're too personally involved. You can't do this. And
he immediately is just like, fuck it, I'm in.
Yeah. And I love Henry here, because this is when Henry cares, and that's not to say that he doesn't care, but when, like, something very serious is happening to Sean, he's very concerned. Like, it's a different side to Henry that we don't see a ton. And he's just like, nothing is going to stop me from finding my son. And so Lassie sort of reluctantly, you know, agrees. And then the two of them in this episode, right, they are perfect.
Well, they are the straight-laced sticklers paired together.
Yes, yes. And the back and forth between these two, which we'll get into, is absolutely fantastic. But they worked, you know, really well together. They both had their strengths. Lassie had his obvious weaknesses.
You're juicing, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh man, that was great. And then they just work so well. And then you get, so together they are sort of playing the Sean character, mm-hmm. right? And then you've got Lassie and Gus, who are playing the more
Jules,
you know, the straight guy, right? They're playing more of the Jules character. And I thought what they did really well, because it was those two working together to solve the crime, where you just had Henry and Lassie sort of two bloodhounds, you know, just trying to, you know, track.
As they said, chasing the breadcrumbs.
Exactly. And I don't know. I can't get over it. I really love that concept a ton. So, you know, we know that the stakes are now high. One of the gang, is in serious trouble. And we get a flashback now. And this is where I was talking about earlier with the roadside, you know, the ice cream truck. But this is, we get some Gus narration here where he's, you know, telling Jules about what happened. He goes, and this is where Sean noticed a clue. He noticed this and he thinks that there might be something
more to this. The steel was reinforced on the bottom of the ice cream truck. So he thought that something was tampered with. And they actually wind up finding out it was the dry run for their armored car robbery.
Right. And so I thought that was great. I just love the narration, because we usually get the dumb Sean clue mm-hmm. face. And now we get Gus actually just saying dumb clue face, right? Essentially, mm-hmm. right? Here's the clue, pointing those things out. So when you got the narration over what's happening in the scene, I just thought that was a nice touch. And then it jumps back into the present time again. And this is now where we really get our first glimpse of Sean. You know, he's, you know, or no, sorry, we've already seen him. We already know he's in the back of the truck or in the trunk of the car. But now we see him there and he's recalling those lessons from Henry, you know, and he's trying to escape, where, you know, he kicks the, you know, he's kicked the brake light out so he can see. He's found a crowbar to pry open the trunk. And now the car is, you know, sort of doing the whole weaving thing. And then when it finally comes to a halt, you know, stop, he's able to get out and start running for his life. And again, really great score here, really great moment, really good moment of suspense.
Yeah, it's well done by them to get them into the scenario and him getting out of there, and a nice car to actually kick the taillight out of, or you probably shouldn't kick the taillight out of that car. And again, when they have Gus ask about it, I don't know, I drive an Echo. I think that's back-to-back episodes, by the way.
Yeah, is that a nice car? And the guy just looks at him. What? I drive an Echo.
Not an Echo.
But we get Henry and Lassie, you know, now. So they're on the trail. They're trying to figure it out.
And when they're sounding out the fucking text, it's hilarious. This is the
best, because Lassie's looking at, and he's looking at the phone. He's trying to read it. And he goes, this is nonsense. And I love Henry here. He goes, you're just out of the loop with the young people, with what the young people are doing now. And that is such a classic old, that is something.
That's something you would say. Yes. Yeah. I have an AP. Yeah. Yeah. If you read them out loud, you'll spark some things. Yeah. Fact check. I am a little younger than you. Right. Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah.
So it's a nice back and forth, and they do actually figure out what Sean was talking about. And the P-Sig thing, I was like listening to this episode a lot, and then today I finally actually was looking at it when I watched it, and that's a perfect thing to put in the text because it was descriptive to the area. I thought it was a pedestrian sign the whole time, but it was actually a peace sign on a pedestrian sign.
Yeah, it was spray painted on there, right? And so, yeah, that was a very nice touch and a very specific thing because, mm-hmm. like, if you just put pedestrian sign, you know, peace sign or, you know, ped sign or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, that could be anywhere, right? Because those pedestrian signs are everywhere, but the peace sig, the peace sign, that was, I thought, was a nice touch. So we flash back again. We get some more good Gus narration where they've traced the truck back to a garage. So they go there to start investigating. And this is where, you know, Gus is like, this is where we meet Garth for the first time. So Sean mm-hmm. and Gus are there. And this is one of the moments where we actually get some good Sean comedy.
Yeah. I mean, he was trying to combine two unique vehicles, a Wienermobile
yep.
and a Zamboni. To create yeah. the perfect cold ice onto which to enjoy your wiener. And I don't know if you could, these two machines could be welded together. And then he even does when he does the donut Holstein line, and then he just kind of looks away like, that was a miss. Yeah. And then Garth Longmore has the name Garth Longmore. He's like, gosh, I feel bad now.
Yeah. And then have you ever given any thought about being in the adult film industry?
Every time somebody has one of those names, like Courtney Cox,
right,
or by her porn name.
Right.
Courtney Cox.
So this was a great little flashback too, because we're seeing it from their perspective. Gus is narrating it, and we already know that Garth Longmore is the bad guy. Mm-hmm. He's the guy driving Sean around in the car. So I love that little, this is sort of like what some of those good, you know, sometimes those good Agatha Christie, you know, crime, you know, mystery novels do, or it's just mystery novels in general, where
Harley Boys,
like these short stories where you kind of know the bad guy, but how does it fit? Where does it fit? How does it all come together, sort of thing? So we know who the bad guy, but we have no idea what the motive is. We have no idea how Sean got himself shot. So it's still a lot to unravel here, but you're seeing it from different chunks of time was pretty interesting. So now it's present time, and Jules and Gus, you know, after sort of poking around Sean's, you know, weird apartment.
Right, it's the old fluff and fold.
The old fluff and fold. They decide that they're going to go go back to the garage to investigate. And I love this little line. It's the second time where they've sort of done the whole badge thing where Gus says, yeah, we went there, but Sean really wasn't able to get too far. And then Jules goes, well, let's see how far this will get us, right?
And I think, again, that was in the last episode.
Yeah, exactly, right? But it was Lassie doing it that time. Mm-hmm. And so we
didn't have one of these.
Yeah, right. Here's the Scarecrow and here's the Tin Man. So they get there, and when they get to the garage, they learn that Garth had suddenly quit,
mm-hmm.
you know, out of the blue, and the guy's pissed because he stole, you know, he took off with his big gun, and Gus has no idea oh my God, he's got a gun.
Well, yeah, you know, he has a gun. Sean's been shot.
Right. But then Jules explains to him what a MIG gun is, and this is where we get the bit with the he was driving a
74 yellow, Roadrunner.
Yeah, with black racing stripes. Is that a nice car? That guy gives him that look, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and as we're breaking it down right now, what you kind of realize too about this episode is you did need the two teams working together, solving two different parts of the crime to culminate in actually finding Sean. Because if it was just Sean and if it was just Lassie and Henry, they wouldn't have been able to do it. And if it was just Jules and Gus, they wouldn't have been able to do it. A lot of the times this happens with the psych crew, but because they're putting it all together for Sean, it comes together nicely, and they get a little bit, you know, they get Garth Long where they find out that he's not a real person. They go inspect him at the job, and then they find out, all right, now this guy must be up to some seriously bad shit.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, Billy, because yeah, if it was, you know, just Lassie and Jules work in this case by themselves, you know, they never would have, even if it was the three of them, or if they were all working together, like, in one unit, they never would have. They needed to. It's the breaking of the fellowship, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you get your one big group, and they go off in different paths, and then they all come back together again. And you're right, because it, you know, the evidence that Jules and Gus gather, you know, the way they relay it to and when they relay it to Lassie and Henry is perfect, because again, if they don't do that, if they don't, you know, go down that avenue, they go down.
Yeah, now they know John's who dead. And what they're looking for. They know where, more importantly, too, the armored car route is going to go. So yeah. They know they're looking for that creepy guy who was at the gas station, and they know the area now that armored car is going to go by.
Yeah. So, you know, we get the information from Jules. Oh, Jesus Christ, Joseph. You know, that Garth Longmore is an alias, right, is a stolen identity. And then this is where we get the flashback. So this is where we get that, you know, what, you know, or the why in the
reveal. Yeah, Sean breaks the case there. So yeah. he's there. He's with him. He's trying to talk him out, you know. Oh, this isn't a Starbucks unless you can make a caramel macchiato with that thing. I think I'm in the wrong spot. The new like $8,000 coffee robot at work makes a vanilla latte like you freaking read about it. That I'm still hyped up.
Fantastic, oh, by the way. Phenomenal. I'm not a coffee guy, but I would use that every day.
I'd just put my head under if it wasn't coming out flaming hot. What was I saying here? Oh, yeah. So he's with Garth Longmore. And what I liked about this scenario more than anything, too, is Sean didn't get a lot of words out before he fucking shot him.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like, how these things would actually fucking play out. Like, if I have a gun and you're trying to talk me down, you say one thing where it's like, oh, you do know I'm a bad guy. Bang.
Yeah. Because that was realistic. Because remember the nit I had to pick about the Lion Ryan episode, right? Is that they're all
standing there. Bang, you're dead. Bang, he's dead.
Yeah, yeah, and Sean's, you know, doing the quippy thing, stalling, right, to get out of it, and then Lassie and Jules show up right at the last moment to save the day.
They shoot them, though.
What?
They did go to pull the trigger, and then Lassie and Jules just...
They would have been shot immediately, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, they step around the corner. I don't care if your hands are up, like, you're probably going to shoot them in the face.
Yeah, and so, like, Sean's back, you know, and this is the other thing, too, is that he went back to that junkyard by himself, and that's when he called...
Gus to leave the message. Gus
and left that voice message that we saw at the beginning of the episode, and so Sean figured it out, right? The ice cream truck was the dry run. They're planning on stealing the armored truck full of money. It's a robbery, which is great because we don't get a ton of robberies either, you know, on this show. And I just, that was just a really good scene, and it comes back later when Sean's talking to Garth, because Sean does his whole deduction thing, and where he finds out, like, Garth is, like, an expert marksman.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell from
he wouldn't
3
have killed
feet
him.
Away he wouldn't have killed him. So I thought that was a nice touch.
It was, and you get a lot of out of that stuff in the garage with Garth working on the car. And I actually thought that was one of the best parts of it too. There was a lot of good back and forth, some good acting by Sean. It's probably not easy to play a person who shot. You know, I love the line about, like, you know, they say eventually the balloon goes numb. I can tell you for a fact that I've never been in more pain in my life.
Yeah. So we're back in the present now. And so, you know, Sean had, you know, previously been running through the woods, you know, he had eluded Garth Longmore. And then when he stumbles out of the woods, he finds a gas station, goes there for help. And this is where we learn that there is actually an accomplice, you know, that Garth Longmore has an accomplice named Rollins. And so they bring, you know, they bring Sean out back. Rollins is berating Garth, calling him a fucking idiot. And
yeah, it's the classic, you know, the comedy pairing of the tough little guy and the big muscle being dumb.
Right. And so, you know, they're at the gas station there, and so they've got Sean all bound up. And this is, again, like, we get some funny lines from Sean, but it's like, it's not typical Sean, but Sean's still doing his whole psychic thing.
I imagine, right? It would give you some pause emotionally.
But I loved Sean being able to read Garth and kind of get a sense that, okay, he's not a hardened criminal. Maybe I can do my psychic thing to weaken him a bit, to get him to, like, maybe not go through with A, killing him, and B, the armored car heist. And I thought that was probably, you know, maybe the best scene of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of the scenes between Garth and Sean in that room, there's one I have a pretty good nit to pick with, but that was some really good acting. We know that Rucker can act his pants off. He's really, really good. And Sean, you know, kind of an underrated actor all time. Like, he pulls off the comedy really well. And every time he's in one of these episodes, it's really good. We saw it in the first Yin episode, too, where he kind of berates Jules. That felt real. A lot of the stuff with his mom, the other Yin episodes, they even throw a few more serious things at him over the course of the show. And he tackles them all, and he tackles them all pretty well. So, you know, a lot of good acting on this show. I love Gus. I love Lassie. Jules and Corbin Burnson, not the strongest actors, but, you know, they play their own role, too. I mean, and Jules gets way better as the show goes on.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, but, again, yeah, they are not the top of the pecking order acting-wise. And I even think the episode where when Sean and Abigail break up, Sean does a really, really good job.
Yeah, there. He sells it.
Right. Yeah, he does a really good job there.
That's a Yin episode.
It's the next Yin episode, I believe. Right, it's the season finale, and so like Sean's, you know, he's manipulating Garth, and he's able to convince Garth. This was my biggest nit to pick in this episode, was that, you know, he was able to manipulate Garth to give him his phone.
Yeah, so no way.
Make a call. Not a no chance. Way that happens.
This guy already fucking shot him.
Yeah. Right, so like, okay, but Sean gets his phone, and because he could tell that Garth, you know, like there's a love of his, he was playing on that love thing, mm-hmm. right? And so Sean was playing on, you know, oh, my ex girlfriend, I've got a caller, but or mm-hmm. whatever. So, or you know, he uses the phone to call Jules, but he calls her Gina, right? He says, I love you, Gina, or Abigail, sorry,
Abigail.
I love you,
Abigail.
And we'll talk about Gina in a little bit. But like, he's kind of talking in code, which then sort of gives Jules, you know, he's the certain words that he says about chimes and all this. And so Jules takes that. Okay. It was weird because it did look like she was going to say, I love you back before he said Abigail. She relays that information to Lassie and Henry, who just happened to be at the gas station a few moments ago.
And the important thing I think about that, too, is Sean sees that it's them.
Yes.
So he knows that his dad, because when Jules relays the message to them, yes. Lassie's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has no clue. Yeah. And then in, you know, Henry has his Henry moment and he hears the wind chimes and he's like, oh, back where we were before with the wind chimes. Boom. And like, that's, yeah, I thought that was a nice little thing buried in there.
Yeah, that was really good writing and good work on Jules's part to pick up on that, on those details and relay it.
And use of the equity that they built in these characters, that we know that Henry has the same flashback ability, the photographic memory that Sean has.
Right. Exactly. So I thought that was really well done, so that, you know, they were there, you know, so Henry and you know, Lassie were able to get back there, you know, to save Sean. And then we get something that is very rare in a psych episode here, is we get a chase scene.
It's great, though. We get another couple.
We do. We get the chase scene. I loved it for the most part. But Sean shooting while having that, you know, he's been milking.
Oh, I love that. Wound. I loved it. You know how much adrenaline you must have jumping from one car to another?
True. But that, don't yell at me for, because I'm not saying I'm not saying fun. I don't hate fun because it was a great chase scene. But like, is Sean that good of a shot?
Yeah, we already established that in the first episode. He's a crack shot. He can shoot through bullet holes. Yeah. Like he is like the super cop. Like,
but on a car with a bullet hole in his shoulder.
I think either one of us could do it.
Not no with a way. Bullet hole. Billy, yeah. You've seen me run. No way am I doing that.
No, but like, he is built up to be like a super cop. We already established he could shoot. To me, I had no problem with that. And I thought it was the best part of the episode. So you just classic stick in the mud.
No, the best part from this scene wasn't that. It was Gus saying, jump on Lassie's car. This is my company car. Mm-hmm. Jump on Lassie's car. But it was great. It was fun. It was high octane. It was, you know, the look on Henry's face when Sean does jump, you know, is priceless. in the look on Lassie's face.
Hang on,
his
hang
car.
On, hang on. Good idea, Dad. I was really thinking of letting go right now.
So this episode really did have it all. Had a little bit of everything. You know, like I said, the comedy was light. It, you know, we don't have, you know, a ton of quotes, a ton of quips. We don't have a ton of references, but you don't always need that for a psych episode to be great. And so the reveal, right? We already know the who. It was Garth and Rollins. We know the why. They wanted to, you know, steal the armor car for the money. And the how, again, we already know. They sabotaged the Brinks truck to cause it to crash so they could steal the money, and then and they were gone. So a very plausible crime. Wasn't outlandish. Some of the text, you know, there was just like little things that were just like, okay. But overall, Billy, very good.
Yeah, fantastic episode. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The, you know, six times I probably watched it this week. It's just, you know, a different speed than most psych episodes. And it's good to do that. And it's good to still be a, like, you still know it's a psych episode. It's not like they did something completely different.
Right, right.
Everybody's still who they are. It's still in the same vein. But it's a little bit, you know, left of center.
Yeah, they shuffled it up a bit, which is nice. It's nice to have a little, you know, palate cleanser like this every now and then, just to break things up a little bit, because next week's episode does get a bit silly, does get a little outlandish, but in all the great ways, you know, that psych does that. So memorable moments. Let's jump into the Thundercats ho here, William. I don't have a ton of memorable moments here, because this was really more about the pacing of the story and the setup of, you know, the storytelling. But, you know, like we said, the garage scene with Sean and Longmore was great.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Henry and Lassie together.
Classic buddy cops.
Just Henry making Lassie look like a weakling. You know, Lassie accusing Henry of juicing.
I'm fairly certain I was bitten by a tick back there.
Yeah, right. Henry knows what to look for because, you know, he taught Sean, and Sean is actually doing all the things that Henry
I did like him. That clue though, when he saw the broken taillight, the P-Sig, orange cone, he's like, boom, stop it right here.
Yeah. And then Lassie just Henry stepping on Lassie's toes, you know, so they were a great bickering old couple, which is great. The other thing I have, which was a very minor thing,
it was great.
I loved Gina.
Crazy Gina Raypack. She's amazing. And she comes back, by the way, in my favorite episode of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's just,
she's in Sean 2.0.
That's right. Because
I have some of the bruschetta, Sean. Otherwise, my breath will be the only one that's stinky when we make out later. Right. It will be gross, Gina.
The look on Sean's face in that scene is fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect. But I love this because Sean's trying to, you know, he's trying to desperately text Gus. And he accidentally hits Gina, right? Gina, and she's like, Sean Spencer, why is Sean Spencer calling me? Didn't he break up with you? Yeah. And then what she says there.
Is it because I had two pieces of cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory? Because I've lost a lot of weight since then.
That fucking killed me. And then what did Sean say sort of under his breath?
No.
Yeah.
No. After she hangs up. She says, no one disses me. Nobody disses Gina Raypack. And he's like, it's not because you had two pieces of cheesecake. It's because you refer to yourself in the third person.
Yes. That was just fucking hysterical. And then, you know, Sean has Gus, text Gina.
No, he answers the call.
Oh, that's right. He answers the call, which was just.
I don't even know who you are.
I mean, she was very minor. You could have completely taken her out of the.
No, she was great. It was a great little bit of comedy.
She was fantastic. She was my runner up.
Yeah, because he accidentally gets a call from her in the thing, and she's like, more important than my feelings, Sean.
Yeah. She's great. She, you know who she kind of reminds me of is that episode in the first season where Sean's doing the freelancing, and he's like, your boyfriend's not cheating on you. He's about to propose to you. He kind of reminded me of that. She kind of reminded me of that girl a little bit. Least memorable moments, just some nitpicks. You know, Garth was maybe a little bit too much of a simpleton, but
it
worked.
If he was more of a simpleton, I would have bought the phone call too. But like, he was a little bit too special ops in the fucking military.
Yeah, that was a little handy. Yeah, it was a little.
If he was a Lenny, straight up Lenny, if he was a straight up Lenny, then I'd buy the phone call.
Right. So that was the only. That was really the only thing that that bugged me, because that wouldn't happen.
A couple of the texting things where it's like, could he really text like that? Could he really get the call off? But you know, it can't be. You do need to put some of those things in to make it a fucking TV show. So right. I get it.
So I overlooked that, but the phone thing, that was the one thing. Was like, that wouldn't happen.
No,
like that just flat out wouldn't.
Especially
happen.
Since he fucking shot him,
right?
Like, he's already about the no guff. Like, he fucking just shot a dude.
Yeah, you don't just shoot someone, for
willy nilly, as they say.
But so favorite character, Henry. I split this one. I gave it to the team of Henry Lassie.
Henry.
Yeah,
I like your runner up though.
Oh yeah, Gina, she was great. Crazy she Gina was great. Back. Like, you know who Gina is in about 20 years?
Every girl I date?
She's Goochberg.
Yeah. No, that's like 50. That's like 35 years.
That's some Pall Malls and some fucking butt heavies, you know, just waiting to happen. A few more bad breakups.
Yeah. Retinol blastoma. She could be even more is what's her name? Myrtle.
Oh. I know. Yeah, Myrtle.
She's not as quick as Myrtle. Yeah.
Yeah. Myrtle's a tough old broad too. She wouldn't.
Sassy.
Yeah. She wouldn't. First of all, she wouldn't date a Sean Spencer in the first place.
Only Johnny Myrtle.
And Myrtle isn't desperate either. Crazy Gina's desperate. But yeah, I thought they were great. Let's rip through some of these quotes real quick. We've already kind of hit the cheesecake one. I love this one. This was right from the beginning when Lassie's pulling up in his car and fucking Buzz goes to open the door for him. He goes, "Whoa, easy there, Grumps. Keep those oversized mitts off this car." He's effectively just fucking called him Grumps.
Mm-hmm.
Cracked me up. Let's see. Longmore, porn star. Yeah. Yep, we did that one.
Wienermobile, Zamboni.
Yep, I'm thinking of creating a joint venture where I combine the Wienermobile with the Zamboni into one. The simple mission statement is to create the perfect juicy wiener and the perfect icy surface to enjoy said wiener on. Mm. And to be perfectly frank with you, no pun intended. It was fantastic. And then the look that fucking he gives Sean, just fucking that look like a dog gives you when he just cocks his head and just stares like into your soul. It was friggin' perfect.
Yeah, and I do like the PJ's line too.
Yeah, sir, are you wearing children's pajamas? Because Gus, like, for most of the episode, just has these fire truck pajamas on, like, you know, the button up with the pants. It was like perfect, Gus. So,
and I love the him changing and Jules giving him crap. Most of these are my clothes.
Yeah,
and then at the end, Sean just looks at him like he's kidnapped. He's just like, "Not my shirt."
Yeah. And it's on the spinner rack, you know, which was great. So, yeah, like I said, the comedy was there, but it wasn't cranked up. But when you got it, like, the moments were good. But this was definitely all about, you know, the drama, the hunt, finding Sean, saving Sean, all of that. Let's head over to the Creamsicle Billy. This is a light creamsicle, you know.
They had to pack in like a heavy duty episode here. So you get the pineapple on the doormat of Sean's apartment. No really description of Lassie. No Gus. Don't be the Gus nickname, of course, is Donut Horstein. No, I've heard it both ways. Not really any wordplay to speak. And then Father of the Year moment. It's basically the whole episode.
Yeah, Henry's great. I mean, throwing Sean in the trunk to teach him that lesson, that's what. But I mean, I just put that down, but literally all of Henry in this episode, he is tremendous. Obscure references. Now, this one I looked at because it's been a hot minute since I've seen Reservoir Dogs.
Mm.
And so when he's talking to Longmore in the garage, he's like, you know, "What do I call you, Mr. Blonde, Mr. Pink?" I had to think for a hot second and look it up. Was Michael Rooker in Reservoir Dogs? He wasn't. You know, it was Michael Madsen, Steve Buscemi, Harvey Keitel. But then when I think about it, Michael Rooker does kind of look like a young Harvey Keitel. They just have like some similar features. So I'm assuming that was sort of the premise of Sean sort of making that reference. We get, you know, the umpteenth Billy Zane reference in this episode. We get a Mentalist reference, which
is mentalist.spoilers.com.
Yeah, right. And then we get a great Fast and the Furious reference where Sean Flatley says, I don't want to be Paul Walker.
Shouldn't we wait for Diesel and Rodriguez first?
Right. And then we'd say, that would make me so-and-so and so-and-so, and that would make... No, that wouldn't work.
All right, fine. I'll be Walker.
Yep. So, and then we get a good, you know... So, like, I wrote Gus's car down here, but it's, like, either Gus's car or Gus's phone, right? Where
basically, you know, work.
Yeah. So, Jules, you know, wants to take the Echo, and Gus is like, no, I'm not covered for someone else using my car. And then, you know, Jules goes in the whole litany of things and, you know, why it's going to be fine. And then, you know, this is a company car. Jump on Lassiter's, which is, you know.
And then it gets shot at.
Yeah. And I love that scene where they're driving down the highway with the flat tire. Right. Just classic. After they've, you know, caught the bad guy and everything, here they come, you know, a mile an hour. That was a great visual. So, William, rating, pineapples, how many?
I'll stick with 6.9-ish.
Nice. Oh, you'll be a tick. I would
6.8. I did, because I think I did like it a little bit more each time I watched it. It was great. Like, it really was a solid but different type of psych episode. And it is one that I never skipped this one. It is actually a nice, as you said, palate cleanser. It's completely different than any of the ones you usually watch.
Yeah, especially with the next episode coming up, too, because that one is high octane. It's a little outlandish. But it's very enjoyable. And so, like I said at the start, like, this is an episode. It's really, really good. But it's not in that top tier of
psych. I'd give you that. Yeah.
You know, it's maybe just like we have it here. It's just a tick or two below. Right. It's very good.
Yeah. And it's in maybe the meaty part of the curve of the serious psych episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So very good. Very enjoyable. Come on, son.
Come on, son.
Come on, son. Tell the people what we got next week.
Next week, we have an appearance by John Cena in episode 10, season 4.
You literally can't see me.
You cannot. If it pull it. Oh, actually, you got a little blue there for a second, so we saw you more than ever.
Oh, boy.
You can't handle this episode. And this is one I often skip, so it'll be nice to rewatch it a few times.
Yeah, I haven't watched this one in a while. This is actually one, like, by the time it usually comes on, I'm just about to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Because I've, you know, put this season on and just started ripping through. But we get John Cena. This is the first, I believe, of now, like, psych's become popular enough on the same channel that Raw is on that we've started to get some WWE crossovers. And we get a few throughout the rest of the series. I mean, Charlotte's in one of the movies.
We already had one, too. We had Mickey James.
Yep, we had Mickey James. You get John Cena, Big Show, Charlotte. I think there's another one as well. But this will be from what I remember, there's a lot of good Sean quotes in this episode.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So it'll be fun to rewatch, because this episode will then lead us into Think Tank, which is one of the top tier episodes for show. So, yeah, Billy, where can the people find us?
Just about everywhere. Go to Facebook and search hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse, and then all the other podcasting platforms as well. We have Dork, Mac and Goo, TLDR, Change My Mind, Pop Culture Pilot Driver, PCP. Then the streamers are Backcracker, which is you, Shime Time, you guys stream on the Twitch. Davey and Keith are on the YouTubes. And I believe that's it.
That is it. So, and you guys just dropped an episode today, right?
We did.
PCP, right? The Jukebox 2007.
Yeah, it was a shitty year for music, but it was a fun podcast.
Yeah, so go check out PCP. Download all the podcasts. Five stars.
Shout out to the lady on Facebook, by the way.
The lady on Facebook?
Our biggest fan.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you, Billy. We got a very, very wonderful little, it wasn't a review, but a nice comment from a fellow psycho, which really tickled us pink and was very nice. So, you know, go on there, go on Facebook. you know, like the DSG, subscribe, give us, you know, all the podcasts, 5 stars, great reviews. We appreciate them all. We really do.
And Goo tried to say it was fucking fake.
Yeah. Goo's always trying to knock down them pineapple boys.
Hate is going to hate.
That's right. We studs.
Yeah. Renee McGowan. Shut up.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It meant a lot. They all mean a lot. You know, all the reviews, the kind words. We were glad that you guys enjoy this and gals. And so until next week, William, wait for it.
Frank says hi.